And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blast-off. X minus one.
Richard Diamond, private detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
Well, happy Sunday, Lisa Wolf. This is the WGN Radio Theater Program 78 in the series. It's May 15th, and we are just happy as two clams to be here playing classic radio for shows for you. Right, Lisa?
Yes.
Are you as happy as a clam also?
Yes, I'm the second clam. You can be the first one.
I'm the first clam. You're the second clam. Yep. Well, let's not clam up. Let's talk about classic radio on this edition. We also have Mike Estella, executive producer, is here. And LF Garris is here as well. She's our producer. She's amazing. We love her. She's awesome. And she won't be here next week, though. She's going to Vegas. She's abandoning us.
But we're in good hands. We've got Shane come and help
us
out.
That's right.
A-okay.
All right. So on this edition of the WGN Radio Theater, we are going to spotlight a terrific actor by the name of William Bendix. He starred as Chester A. Riley on The Life of Riley, and that'll be our first show, Life of Riley episode from 1944. Then we'll hear him in a drama on Suspense called Breakup, and then a guest on The Burns and Allen Show. All of this is brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars as a jazz pianist in the romantic musical La La Land, which explores a love story, your favorite kind of story, Carl,
yeah,
between the jazz pianist and an aspiring actress.
Right. Okay. Okie dokie.
Don't laugh at me.
Sounds good. You win a pizza?
Yes. Not only do you win a pizza, but what is the best thing to go with the pizza? It's a pair of tickets to The Producers.
So, oh, wow.
Lou Malnati's
tickets
and The Producers.
To The Producers?
A great combination at
Holy
the Mercury
moly.
Theater.
So if you know who this celebrity is, give us a call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. You'll hear this celebrity trying to pick up Emma Stone's character. Hannah is her name, in 2011's Crazy Stupid Love.
Me sitting over there for the past 2 hours not being able to take my eyes off of you is a fact. I find you very attractive.
Lisa, he finds you very attractive.
Well, you know.
You are vivacious,
what
you know.
What can I say?
All right, if you know who that actor is, give us a call, 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
We are back. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that movie clip again.
Me sitting over there for the past 2 hours not being able to take my eyes off of you is a fact. I find you very attractive.
Yeah.
Kevin, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm well. Thank you.
Good. We're hoping that you can recognize this celebrity's voice, who is quite attractive, actually.
Well, I don't know about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right. Me neither. Me neither, Kevin. I'm with you.
But I believe it's Ryan Gosling.
You are right, Kevin, and you are a winner. We're so happy to give you a pair of tickets to The Producers. It's playing right now through June 26th at the Mercury Theater Chicago, and you can get tickets at mercurytheaterchicago.com. Also, what goes better with theater than a Lou Malnati's pizza? So we're going to give you a $25 gift certificate, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. You can find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online, loumalnatis.com. Hey, Kevin.
Yes.
Thanks a lot for calling in and for listening to the WGN Radio Theater.
Well, thank you so much. You guys have a great show.
Thanks, Kevin. Hey, we're here every Saturday and Sunday night playing classic radio shows. This is what we do from 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. on the weekends. We're sort of the weekend team here, Lisa.
The weekend warriors.
Yeah, the weekend classic radio warriors on the WGN Radio Theater. And we have a website, which is WGNRadioTheater.com, and a Facebook page. Just search us on Facebook at WGN Radio Theater. Right, Mike?
Absolutely. We also have a Twitter page at WGN Radio Theater.
Not sure what a Twitter is. I would want to take some antibiotics for that, but, you know, I don't know.
You might need some antibiotics.
I might need some. It's time for William Bendix Spotlight. He, of course, was Chester A. Riley. This was a comedy created by Irving Brecker. and it premiered on radio in 1944. Chester A. Reilly was an airplane riveter and devoted family man. His wife was named Peg, and his kids were Babs and Junior. His catchphrase, "What a revolting development this is," became part of the lexicon back in back in those days. John Brown was a co-worker. His name was Jim Gillis, as I said, played by John Brown. And there was also the town's friendly undertaker, Digby Odell. That was also played by John Brown. And in 1949, it went to television. You know who was the first Reilly on TV, Lisa? Not William Bendix.
No,
he did
I know
play
it wasn't
it.
Him, though.
Jackie Gleason
was
the
wow.
first Reilly on TV. But then Bendix assumed the role for six seasons thereafter. But we have a radio episode for you now from the very first year it was on the air, going back to February 13th, 1944. This was sponsored by the American Meat Institute, which I think you founded, right, because you're such a meat eater.
Yes, that's my company.
And it's called Sissio's Marriage. Let's tune this in. William Bendix on The Life of Reilly.
Pabst Blue Ribbon, finest beer served anywhere, proudly presents The Life of Reilly, starring William Bendix as Reilly. Chester A. Reilly is more than a husband and father. He's a brother, a loving brother dedicated to finding a husband for his unmarried sister, Cecilia.
Hey, Pop, what's burning?
Nothing's burning, Junior.
Well, I smell something.
That's perfume. I'm spraying it around.
Perfume?
Yeah.
With a flit gun?
Yeah, stand back.
Oh, what is that stuff, Pop?
It's perfume. You see, what with your Aunt Sissy still being single, well, Otto Schmidlap is calling on her tonight, and I think he's ready to pop the question. When he gets a snootful of this perfume, he'll be in the mood.
It's kind of strong.
Yeah, it better be. It's the latest thing from Paris. Girl in the 5 and 10 told me. And it's expensive, too, $1 a quart. Stand back, Junior. I want to spray the couch.
Pop, are you sure that's perfume in that flit gun?
Well, of course it's perfume.
Well, you're killing all the flies with it.
They're just swooning with love. And that's what's going to happen to Otto tonight. Put the lights on, Junior.
Okay. Hey, something's wrong. Only one light is burning.
Sure, I unscrewed all the other bulbs. More romantic this way. And that's not all I did. Sit down on the couch, Junior, on the end.
Here?
Yeah. Go on, sit down.
Hey, what's wrong?
Move over in the middle. See, it stops. Same thing with the other end. I fixed the springs that way. Now Sissy and Otto will have to sit in the middle, close together. Oh, that Otto won't get away tonight.
But Aunt Sissy doesn't like Otto. She likes Hugo Harari.
That loafer?
Well, I bet she'd rather marry him. I like Hugo better, too.
Okay, you can marry Hugo, but Sissy's going to marry Otto.
I still like Hugo.
I think the perfume's wearing off. I better give that couch a second coat.
Ronnie!
Yeah, in here, Dumplin'.
Ronnie, I wanted that. Who's burning leaves?
Nobody's burning leaves. Peg, come over here. Sit down on the couch here.
Oh, Riley, I got the dishes to do.
No, come on, sit down.
Oh, this couch. All right.
Not there, here in the middle beside me.
Well, what is it?
Get a little closer to me.
Oh, Reilly.
Come on. Yeah, that's it.
What are you up to, Reilly?
Now, tilt your chin up like someone was going to kiss you.
Oh, Chester.
Yeah, fine. Hold it. Perfect. That light don't shine in your face, does it, honey?
No. The room's quite dark.
Yeah, it's better in the dark.
Yeah. Well?
Well, what?
Oh, aren't you gonna kiss me?
Well, who put that nonsense into your head?
What?
Why should I kiss you? I ain't coming home from work. Oh, you thought that I was... Gee, Peg, you're a regular woman. I was just testing. Otto Schmidlap's calling on Sissy tonight. I think he's going to pop the question. I was just setting the stage, setting the mood of the room.
Oh, so that's it. Now, look, you've got to let Sissy run her own life.
Well, I'm just trying to help romance along.
But she doesn't care for Otto. She told me so. She likes Hugo Harari. Frankly, I like Hugo better, too.
How can you even compare a fine boy like Otto with that Hugo, a no-good gambler?
Oh, just because he's silly enough to play the horses once in a while doesn't make him a gambler. Anyway, that's Sissy's business. I don't think that Otto's such a prize.
What are you talking about? He comes from a wonderful family. His mother was a Fendelkraut. They've got a terrific business. Fendelkraut sauerkraut.
Maybe so. But that Otto, you know, he isn't too bright in the upper story.
Otto not bright? Why, he pulls down $100 a week.
Yeah, that's what the family pays him to stay away from the business. He told me so himself. That's how bright he is.
Okay, so Otto's a rich moron, but Hugo's a gambler. Who would you rather marry, a gambler or a moron?
I made my choice 18 years ago.
How can you say such a thing about me? I never gambled in my life.
Peggy, hello, brother dear.
Oh, hello, Sissy.
I was just over at the hairdresser's.
Oh, your hair looks lovely.
Yes, I had it cut in the new bob. Peggy, I think your pork chops are burning.
No, dear, I'm not cooking pork chops.
Well, I smell something.
Oh, that's me. I got some news for you, Cecilia, darling.
Oh, I have news, too.
Yeah?
Someone's coming to see me tonight.
Yeah, who told you?
He phoned me this afternoon. He said he has something important to ask me.
Oh, that Otto, a fast worker.
Oh, not Otto. Hugo.
Yeah, but, Sissy, I thought Otto is...
Wouldn't have my hair done just for Otto.
Now, look, Sissy, that Hugo is no good. I want you to stay away from him.
Riley, you mind your own business.
This is my business. I don't want Sissy to make a mistake she'll regret the rest of her life.
Hugo's a perfect gentleman.
He's a no-good loafer, never works.
He is not. He's looking around for a business to invest in.
He's just a gambler. It's in his blood. You show me a man who gambles, and I'll show you a man who'll desert his wife, beat his kids, and steal money from his boss.
But he said he's gonna quit gambling.
Yeah, when did he tell you that?
Tuesday.
Well, then he lied, because on Wednesday I gave him $2 to bet on a horse for me. You stay away from that Hugo, you hear?
Junior, where's your mother?
She's in the kitchen.
Good. And your Aunt Sissy?
In the living room.
Fine. Look, Junior, I need your help. Otto's coming here tonight.
But Aunt Sissy says she's going to see Hugo.
Yeah, not if I see him first. I want you to go out on the porch and give me the high sign. If it's Otto, knock twice. If it's Hugo, knock once. I got to get rid of him. Now, go on now.
Oh, I don't know, Pop. I don't like this. If Mom finds out, she'll blow her top.
Well, don't you worry. I'll protect you.
Yeah, but who will protect you?
Come on, Junior, help me out.
Well, okay.
Good. Now, remember, one knock for Hugo and two knocks for Otto.
Was that the door, brother dear?
No, Sissy, that was just Junior.
Oh, I thought it was Hugo.
Maybe Hugo won't come tonight.
Oh, he'll be here, all right. He promised. Let me know as soon as he comes. I'll be in the living room.
I don't know what she sees in that Hugo. But then nobody ever knows what a woman sees in a man. They said the same thing when Peg got married. But I'm going to snip this into butter out. It's Otto. What a break.
Hello, Mr. Riley.
You're late, Otto.
Well, I couldn't help it. A guy stole my car.
No kidding.
Yeah, I seen him. Just when I was coming out of my house, this guy gets in my car and drives off.
Oh, that's terrible. What'd you do?
Oh, I fixed him good. While he was driving away, I wrote down my license number.
Well, that was quick thinking.
Yes, sir. Ain't no flies on me. I dip my clothes in DDT.
That's a good one. Come on in, Otto.
Hey, Hey, you sure it's okay you fixed it up with Sissy, huh?
Well, sure, it'll be okay. Now, remember, Otto, if you got something to ask Sissy, you better do it tonight before somebody steals her from under your nose.
Yeah, maybe the same guy stole my car, huh?
Well, you better work fast. Now, go on in. She's in the living room here.
Hey, I smell something.
Yeah, I know, burning leaves.
No, perfume.
Go on in there, quick. Go ahead.
Oh. Hey, Pop, how'd I do?
Swell, Junior. So far, so good.
Why are you getting down on your knees?
Shh. I want to see how that stupid Otto's doing.
What's he doing?
Nothing. Sitting at one end of the room and Sissy at the other. Oh, yeah, now he's reaching into his pocket for something. And from here, I can't tell if it's a ring or... a comic book. Two comic books. He's handing one to Sissy.
Hey, Pop, I hear someone outside.
Oh, that's Hugo. Open the door. I don't want him to ring.
Hiya, Riley.
What do you want, Hugo? This ain't no racetrack.
Got a date with a cute filly, Sissy.
No, you haven't. She left town this afternoon.
3-1, you're lying.
Beat it. Sissy don't want anything to do with you.
Baloney. Love is a race, and Sissy ain't scratched me yet.
Listen, Hugo, you ain't gonna marry my sister.
5, I'll get you 10, I do.
If you do, it'll be over my dead body.
I'll give you even money on that.
Okay, wise guy, you're always handing out tips. Now let me give you a tip. You leave my sister alone or I'll get tough with you. And you better listen, because this is one tip you're getting straight from the horse's mouth. Now go on, what? Get out! Out! Out!
You really have to go.
Well, I just got here, Sissy, and I got something to ask you. Something very, if you'll excuse the expression, personal.
Some other night, Otto, please. What's that?
Somebody at the window.
Well, I wonder who could be...
Sissy, open the window.
It's Hugo.
Hiya, Sissy.
Hugo, what are you doing here?
Just checking. Riley told me you weren't in, and I figured you were.
Oh, that brother of mine. I told him to tell me when you got here. Come on, climb in, Hugo. That Otto is here.
Yeah, well, I'll get rid of him.
Hi there, Otto, pal.
Hello.
Say, Otto, how'd you like some ice cream?
Ice cream? Oh, boy, I love ice cream.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. I'll pay for it if you go out and get it. Here, get a quarter's worth of pistachio.
Ooh, pistachio. That's my favorite kind. Okay, I'll go, and you'll get the 3 spoons ready.
Yeah, here. Go out the window. It's shorter. I'll give you a boost. There.
Okay.
Ups-a-daisy. Now get going, Otto.
Hey. Wait a minute. How do I know this isn't a trick to get rid of me? I bet you want to cut in on my date with Sissy. I ain't so dumb, you know.
Why, Otto, I wouldn't do a thing like that. I promise, while you're away, I won't even look at her.
That's right, and I won't look at Hugo.
Well, okay. But just to make sure, put out the lights.
All right, let's take a break here on The Life of Riley from 1944. You know who's playing Otto there, Lisa, on this episode?
Yeah, I sure do. That's Fred Flintstone.
That's right, Fred Flintstone, Alan Reed. I think the other guy talking may be Jim Backus. It sounds like Thurston Howell III on Gilligan's Island there. And, of course, William Bendix as Chester A. Riley. We're spotlighting William Bendix on this edition of the WGN Radio Theater. Let's take a short break. You know what, Lisa? Years ago, when I was licensing these classic radio shows, I spent about 20-plus years licensing these shows and meeting with the creators of the program. In fact, George Burns was one of them. You know I carry a picture of George Burns and me in my wallet everywhere I go. George was very instrumental in helping me license these shows. And one of the people that George Burns introduced me to back in the 1980s was Irving Brecker. Irving Brecker created The Life of Riley, the show that we're listening to. And Irving Brecker was one of the toughest, but one of the sweetest guys I ever knew. He was really tough. He would not license me The Life of Riley. When I first contacted him, I said, I'm friends with George Burns. He said to give you a call, blah, blah, blah. And he was just like, I'm not interested in licensing my shows, kid, you know. And so we, I asked if I could meet with him, if I could take him to lunch, all this kind of stuff, right? So he said, no, I'll take you to lunch. He took me to the Beverly Wilshire Country Club, where she was a member, which was so cool. George Burns used to take me there, too. And I met Jerry Lewis there and so many different people. But eventually, I wore him down. I wore this guy down, and he licensed me his entire Life of Riley radio series. And he used to take me to his apartment. He had this magnificent apartment on Wilshire Boulevard where he had all of his Academy Award. I remember he had super red carpeting in his office. I remember this thick red shag carpeting. He had a piano in there. He was a very talented guy. And he had all of his Emmy Awards and his Academy Awards because he wrote like Meet Me in St. Louis and Bye Bye Birdie. And sitting there and talking to this guy, and he was going blind. He lived to be in his late 90s, and I knew him in his 80s, and he was kind of losing his eyesight. And he's just the most charming man, talking about writing for the Marx Brothers and then creating the Life of Riley and how, you know, doing the deal with William Bendix and then how why he couldn't cast Bendix when the TV series started. And just such fond memories. Whenever I listen to a Life of Riley radio show, I think about those days of sitting across the table from Irving Brecker. And he was such a wonderful comedian too. I mean, he wrote, I mean, just this guy was one of the most talented people. And you don't know him. You don't know his name, Irving Brecker. I mean, he was always behind the scenes. You know, he wasn't right. One of these guys. But this was another really cool thing. So as a young man, he got started writing for the Marx Brothers. So Groucho Marx and he were very close friends, and he wrote a couple of the Marx Brothers movies. I can't remember which ones, but he told me, and he had a poster framed of a Marx Brothers movie that he wrote, and it was time to do the photo for the cover of this Marx Brothers poster, and Groucho never showed up. His brothers came, right? So the other Marx Brothers came, and the photographer was like, "We got to shoot this picture," and he put the Groucho makeup on, because he looked a little bit like Groucho. He put the Groucho makeup on and the mustache, you know, the painted mustache, and he was in the posters.
As Groucho.
Oh. To this day, I got to remember, wow. I'll have to look which one it is, but one of the Groucho famous, I think it was Coconuts. It could have been Coconuts. That's what's coming to mind. But he impersonated Groucho in this because he didn't want to get in trouble with MGM or whoever was putting out the movie.
Well, I would guess that the reason he gave you the rights ultimately was after he got to know you and realized your passion and what you were going to do with it made perfect sense. Yeah. You weren't just some kid goofing off.
Yeah, after we started working together, he was very happy because Life of Riley always did very well for us on cassette back then and CD. But just a wonderful, wonderful man. You'll hear his name at the end of the show in the credits. All right, let's get back now to this episode. William Bendix starring in The Life of Riley.
Oh, Riley, get away from that keyhole.
I just want to see how he's doing. Last time I checked, he was reading a comic book.
Hugo?
No, Otto.
I thought you
I got rid of that Hugo. He won't come around here anymore.
Oh, have you been meddling again?
Shh, I want to see if Otto's made any progress. Ah, he finally got around to turning out the lights. It's dark. Uh-huh. He's on the couch. Now she's on the couch. It stopped. They're together at last. I think he's kissing her.
What did you do to that couch?
I turned it into a love seat. Well, I think everything's under control. Let's go to the movies, huh?
Oh, honest, Riley, if you don't stop interfering...
Hey, I know what I'm doing. Now, come on, let's go. We're late for the movies.
Oh, hello. You going out? I got some pistachio ice cream.
Oh, no, thanks. We're going to the movies, but you go in the living room and ask Otto if he likes pistachio. Good night. Come on, Peg.
Riley, look
now,
how...
Please, Peg, don't start, huh?
But, Riley...
I know what I'm doing.
But, Riley...
If we're going to the movies, let's enjoy ourselves. You know, Peg, that fellow went in the house looked just like Otto. He...
Wait a minute! Hey, Riley, you want some pistachio?
Out of my way, Otto! Put on the lights!
Chester, guess what? Hugo and I, we're engaged.
No.
That's right, just popped the question. The little lady said yes.
Doesn't anybody want any pistachios? What a revolting development this is. I tell you, I won't stand for it, and that's final, sissy.
But I love Hugo.
No baby sister of mine is going to marry a gambler. Rather than let you be stuck with him the rest of your life, I'm willing to be stuck with you the rest of my life.
Now, Riley, Sissy's old enough to make her own decision.
Now, Sissy, you don't know what you're letting yourself in for. He'll never earn a living for you. The minute you come back from your honeymoon, you'll have to go out and get a job. That's no way to start married life, is it, Peg?
No. And I should know that's what happened to me.
Now, please, Peg, we're talking about Sissy.
But Hugo promised to give up betting on horses.
They always promise, but they never do it.
But I told you, he's just waiting till he gets a little money together he can buy into a cigar stand. All he needs is $200.
Now, Sissy, there ain't gonna be no wedding, and that's final. I have made up my head.
Chester, how could
you? It's no use turning on the waterworks. You ain't gonna get around me that way.
You're mean. That's what you are.
That may have worked when we were kids, but I ain't the softy I used to be. Well, cut it out. Now it won't work. I'm too strong-minded. Now you stop crying. It ain't going to do you any good. All right.
Oh, Chester.
Oh, Sissy.
$180, $190, $200. Yeah, it's all here, Riley. And, well, I don't like to get sentimental. I'm going to say thanks.
You're welcome, Hugo.
Now let go of the money.
No. Now, Jeff, I ain't doing this for you, Hugo. It's for Sissy. I want to see her happy.
Well, Sissy's happiness is my life's work, and that comes from the heart, Riley. Now let go of the money.
Not yet. This $200 here is every cent I had in the bank. It's your wedding present to invest in that cigar stand. But first, I got to be sure you're through with the horses.
Riley, believe me, I gave up the ponies 2 days ago. The minute Sissy said yes, I tore up my bookie's phone number. I'm a reformed character. I swear it.
Oh, no, that ain't enough. Swear by something you believe in.
Hand me that racing form.
What?
I'm tearing it up. Look, I'm tearing it. I give you my word. I place my last bet. Now let go of the money.
Okay. You sound sincere, Hugo. I always can tell when a man's sincere. Okay, here's the dough. You put it in that cigar stand right away.
Thanks, Riley. You're a thoroughbred.
Well, count it again. Make sure it's all there.
Yeah, better. 5, 10, 15, 25, 35, 40, 40.
And don't try to pull any tricks on me. You won't get away with it.
You got my word, Riley. 50, 50, 60, 65. 60. That's the phone.
Well, keep counting. I'll get it. Hello?
Hello, Hugo.
He's busy. You got any message?
Yeah. Tell him I got the information on Sister Kate. She's a mutter.
Oh, okay. I'll tell him. Oh, congratulations, Hugo. Your Sister Kate just had a baby.
Yeah, swell. 70, 75, 80...
Remember what 80. I'm telling you, Hugo. You're in the cigar business now, so don't try any fast ones. I'll catch you every time.
You can trust me, Riley. 80, 90, 95, 90...
Keep counting.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hugo?
No, Hugo's busy.
Tell him Uncle Charlie got the heaves and they're scratching him.
Okay. It's about your Uncle Charlie. He's got the hives and he's itching like crazy.
Poor Uncle Charlie.
It must have had something disagreed with him.
Yeah, he eats like a horse. 120, 125.
You know, Hugo, I guess I was wrong about you. Any guy that takes such an interest like you do in his family, he's okay. I guess Sister Kate and Uncle Charlie won't be able to come to the wedding Sunday, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Hello?
Yeah.
Tell Hugo I just got bad news about Grandpa Gus. He fell at Arlington Park and broke his leg.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah, they had to shoot him.
Well, okay, I'll tell him. Brace yourself for a shock, Hugo. Your grandfather broke a leg and they shot him.
180, 190, 200.
Shot him! Give me back that money, you swindler. Your relatives are horses.
Okay, I admit it. I should have known I couldn't fool you, Riley.
You lied to me.
Well, I was just making a few last bets to get a stake together so I could get an honest business. But now I got your $200, I got my stake. I don't have to bet horses now. Isn't that logical?
Yeah, it's logical. Okay, I'm licked. I guess it would break Sissy's heart if the wedding was called off. I'll take one more chance on you, Hugo, but I'm warning you, if I ever catch you making another bet...
Riley, I swear, if I ever make another bet, may you drop dead. Now let go of the money.
Riley?
Yeah, here I am, Peg. I'm here.
Where were you? I was looking all over for you.
Well, I got a 50-pound cake of ice, and I was sawing it into cubes.
Well, we're ready for the ceremony. The judge just got here. Where's Hugo?
Now, he's waiting. I locked him in our room.
Locked? Let him out, and let's get started.
Oh, no, not yet. Everybody isn't here.
Well, who's missing?
Well, oh, here he comes. Digger Odell. That's his car.
Why did you have to invite him?
Well, he's one of my best friends.
All right. But did he have to drive up in a hearse?
Greetings, folks. It is I, Digby Odell, the friendly undertaker.
We were waiting for you, Digger.
Oh, I'm so sorry I'm late. I had to drop someone first.
Oh, that's all right, Mr. Odell.
Oh, here you are, Mrs. Riley. I took the liberty of bringing some flowers for the bride. My favorite kind, crocus.
Thank you. Well, I'll go tell the judge we're ready to start. Now, Riley, you go find Hugo. Hurry up.
Okay, we'll be ready. Women get so excited at weddings, don't they, Digger?
Oh, everybody does. I remember my wedding day. After the ceremony, when I was supposed to carry my bride across the threshold of our cottage, I was so excited, I asked five of my colleagues to help me.
Well, come on, Digger. I better go get Hugo. He's in here. Hugo, come on, it's time.
Yeah, in a minute, pal.
Hey, stop fiddling with that radio and come on, Hugo.
Riley, shh.
They're backing Wheatfield into the starting gate now. They should break any second.
A horse race. Hugo, you didn't. You couldn't.
Well, it was a sure thing, Riley.
Hugo, not the whole 200. Tell me you didn't bet the whole 200.
Yeah, but it was a perfect hunch, Riley. Here's my wedding, and here's this filly in the second at Hialeah called I Do. Now, how can she lose?
You took every cent I had in the world and gambled it? How could you do this to me and to Sissy?
I'm intruding. I'd better leave.
Hugo, if that horse loses, you'll never leave this room alive.
In that case, I'll stay.
I tell you, Riley, I Do as a sure.
And they're off. At the start, it's High Resolve breaking on top, followed by War and I, Wheatfield Chutney, Cover Up, and I Do is trailing.
He's last.
At the quarter, it's still High Resolve by a length, Chutney by a half, Wheatfield on the rail by a head, War and I by three, Cover Up, and I Do.
Oh, he's still trailing, Hugo. You got one foot in the grave.
Riley, this is no time to talk shop.
At the far turn, High Resolve by a head, Chutney by a length, War and I by a neck, Cover Up closing on the inside, Wheatfield and I Do.
Oh, Digger, he's going to lose all my money.
I would have bet on Cover Up.
I Do ain't got a chance.
Now, don't give up. He'll win yet.
In the stretch, Cover Up leading by half a length, High Resolve by a head, Wheatfield is now third, Chutney by a head, War and I is fifth, and here comes I Do.
Come on, I Do. Come on.
Straight away, it's Cover Up by one, High Resolve by a neck, Wheatfield by a head, and I Do coming fast. Approaching the finish line, it's Cover Up and I Do, head and head. It's I Do and Cover Up, I Do and Cover Up. And the winner by a nose, Cover Up.
He lost. I Do lost. $200. I'll murder you.
Riley, don't.
Get up, you phony, and take your punishment like a man.
I think he's out, Riley.
Correction, racing fans, it's a photo finish. The judges are studying the photo. It may be a dead heat.
A dead heat. Oh, dandy.
From here, it looked like Cover Up, but we'll soon have the official. Here it is, and the winner, paying 6-1, I Do.
I Do. We won. $1,200. Hugo, wake up. Hugo, we won. $1,200. Hugo. Hugo, talk to me. It's me, Riley, your partner. Hugo. Oh, they're starting the wedding.
Pop, hurry up.
Hugo, Digger, what'll I do? He's out cold. Try and wake him up.
I'll try, but if I do, it'll be the first time.
Come on, now,
Now, Hugo, wake up.
Slap him, Digger, slap him.
Oh, it's no use. You'd best call off the wedding.
No, Sissy will never get over it.
But the man is unconscious.
All right, we'll carry him in. You hold him by one arm and I'll hold him by the other arm. Come on.
Very well. But this is the first time I've ever carried anybody in to a wedding.
And do you, Cecilia, take this man to be your lawful wedded husband?
I do.
And do you, Hugo, take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife?
Hugo, wake up, please.
Do you, Hugo, take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife?
Hugo, Hugo, snap out of it.
Do you, Hugo, take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife?
Hugo, what looks good in the second at Santa Anita?
I do.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
But it's the most fantastic thing I ever heard of.
Peg, they're married and they're on their honeymoon. Now, let's forget it.
Well, I don't even know if it was legal.
It's legal. It's legal.
But Hugo was unconscious.
So what? Let's face it, Dumplin', if you gotta get married, that's the best way to do it.
Pabst Blue Ribbon invites you to join us again next week to hear The Life of Riley, starring William Bendix as Riley. The Life of Riley is produced by Irving Brecker by arrangement with Universal International Pictures, now releasing Buccaneers Girls, starring Yvonne DiCarlo and Philip Friend. Consult your local paper for the correct time of The Life of Riley show on television over NBC each week. The Life of Riley is brought to you by the Pabst Brewing Company of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Newark, New Jersey, and Peoria, Illinois, and sent your way with the best wishes of Pabst Blue Ribbon dealers from coast to coast. Jimmy Wallington speaking.
Jane Russell is Bill Stern's guest next on NBC.
That is The Life of Riley, going back to February 13th, 1944, starring William Bendix as Chester A. Riley, Paula Winslow as Peg there. You heard John Brown as Digby O'Dell, the friendly undertaker, also in the cast, Alan Reed, and Ken Niles doing the announcing, sponsored by Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer, as heard on NBC. Let's take a break, then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. Lisa Wolf, we're back. This is the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari. Lisa Wolf to my right in black today, Lady in Black.
It's cold outside. I was just trying to stay warm. Sweater kind of a night.
Elif Giras, our producer in the booth there, another beautiful woman. I get to work with two beautiful women here. Too bad it's radio, although you can watch us on WGNRadio.com, right, Elif? Is that where you can watch us?
Yes, you just click the watch button.
Ah.
But I don't know if I...
But not Elif. She's hiding back there.
I'll hide behind the computer here.
Yeah. Well, we have pictures of Elif. We've taken some pictures. There's on our Facebook page. I have two beautiful women that I work with here.
Aren't you lucky?
I'm a very lucky man. Yes, indeed.
Well, Elif and I feel lucky too, right?
Yeah.
We have each other.
You're lucky to work with each other.
Exactly.
Oh, that's funny. All right, so we're here every Saturday and Sunday night from 11 p.m. till 2 o'clock in the morning playing your favorite classic radio shows. We're in the midst of a spotlight to William Bendix, and in this hour, we're going to tune into a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense. A show called Break Up. And then in the 1 to 2 a.m. hour, we will tune into the Burns and Allen show from 1944 with special guest William Bendix, also as a guest on that show, Herbert Marshall. So right now, all of this is brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This act. actor stars in the epic adventure film Knights of the Round Table, King Arthur, a reimagining of the legend of King Arthur.
All right. The number to call, 312-981-7200. You'll win what, Lisa Wolf?
You win a $25 gift certificate for Lou Malnati's Pizza and a pair of tickets to the producers at Mercury Theater Chicago.
All righty. Here is a hint as to who this actor is. He plays Dr. Watson opposite Robert Downey Jr. in the Sherlock Holmes films.
Oh, how I've missed you, Holmes.
All right, that's it. That's all you get.
That's all you need.
312-981-7200. Give us a call. We'll find our winner after this break.
This is the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play that movie clip one more time.
Oh, how I've missed you, Holmes.
Hey, Pat from Darien. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great, great. I'm guessing you recognize that little clip there.
Sounds like Jude Law.
You are right, and you are a winner. We're so excited to give you two tickets to the producers. It's playing right now through June 26th at Mercury Theater Chicago. You can check them out at mercurytheaterchicago.com. Are you a fan of theater?
I am, very much so.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. And you can have a pizza from Lou Malnati's to go with it. You have a $25 gift certificate, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza, my favorite. And you can visit one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. Hey, Pat.
You planned my evening.
Oh, I'm so glad. Well, tonight you stay with us. You go another night, okay?
Okay.
All right. Take care. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. All right, time now for suspense. William Bendix was not only a comedic actor, he was a very good dramatic actor as well. He was in the movie Lifeboat with Tallulah Bankhead, did a lot of dramas. He's also played the Babe Ruth, in a movie as well. And you'll hear him in a very cool drama now called Breakup. This is sponsored by Auto Light, a terrific cast in here, including Gerald Moore, who played Philip Marlowe on the radio. Paul Frees does the announcing on this. Harlow Wilcox is an announcer as well. This is called Breakup on CBS. Here is part one now of Suspense.
And now, Autolite and its 60,000 dealers and service stations present Suspense. Tonight, Autolite brings you William Bendix in Breakup, a suspense play produced and directed by Anton M. Leder. Suspense, radio's outstanding theater of thrills, is presented for your enjoyment by Autolite and its 60,000 dealers and service stations. And now, here is William Bendix in a tale well calculated to keep you in
suspense.
Let him alone, Chick. Max, tell Chick to let him alone.
All right, Chick. Just use him for a footrest. It ain't often a fella gets a chance to wipe his feet on a cop.
Where are we taking him, Max?
Oh, to the end of the line, Marty. Then we give him a transfer. A steel jacket transfer. Get the picture, Chick? Chick gets the picture.
When, Max?
When we get over the bridge. Yeah, we'll make Kevlahan a good cop. And then we'll dump him. Chick, I said enough's enough.
Make it stick this time, will you, Max?
You're awful sensitive for an ex-cop. You with us, Marty?
What do you think?
I think maybe you're remembering that before they bounced you off the force, you and Kevlahan once teamed together on the homicide squad.
Once had long red curls, too. No, Max, what I'm remembering is the raw deal that Captain Brandt gave me. And the little murder rap Kevlahan's been just sweating to pin on me.
Marty, tell you what.
Yeah?
You're all the time asking for a chance to climb up in the organization. I'm going to give it to you now. I'll let you combine business with pleasure as a personal favor.
I'm listening.
I'm going to let you put the quiet on Kevlahan all by yourself. How's that? I didn't hear you, Marty. I said, how's that?
How's that, he says? How's that? I leave it to you, Captain Brandt. You dealt the cards for this hand. How is it? Me, Marty Connors, turning cop killer. Are you satisfied, Brandt? We're on the Queensboro Bridge now. Me and Kivy. Remember your tough team of Connors and Kivlin? Only this time he ain't my partner, Brandt. He's my gun meat. I guess I should have expected anything at all, once I started to roll on my own. No holes barred since the breakup. Just a lot of dirty infighting from the day Brandt put the skids under me in front of those newspaper vultures.
Yeah,
morning, Chief. Hi, Kiv.
Hi.
What are those reporters doing outside?
Hand me your shield, Connors.
What?
I said hand me your shield. You're suspended on decision of the board.
But...
You heard me. You're going up on charges.
But, Brandt, give me a break.
I'll give him a break, Captain.
Break? Tell me, Connors, where were you last night?
Well, I had a date.
At a bar, huh? With a dame you never saw before.
Well, we had a few drinks and...
And what happened after that?
Well, You see...
I'll tell you. You're the only one who doesn't seem to know, because everybody else read it in this morning's paper. Strange dame got you dead drunk at a bar. Rode you for your gun when you passed out. Tried to stick up, shot the joint to splinters, and was collared still carrying your gun. Now you know, do you still expect a break?
Sure, I expect a break. In the first place, I was off duty at the time, and in the second place, I've been on the force 11 years.
And third place, if it was 111, Connors, I'd still bounce you and bounce you hard. You gonna hand me that posse of yours, or do I tear it off your chest?
Here. Add it to your collection, Captain Brandt.
I'm sorry about the verdict, Marty, but don't blame Brandt.
Oh, sure. Don't blame Brandt. Blame me. I'm the first cop ever gets drunk, huh? Brandt don't drink. You don't, huh?
Well,
Not a one of you knows what liquor smells like, I suppose. It's a laugh.
Oh, stop it, Marty. What are you going to do?
Going out to tie one on. What'd you think I was going to do?
What are you trying to prove? Oh, Marty, look, you didn't get jammed up because of a drink now and then. It was a dame. With you, it's always a dame. You lose your head, Marty. You let him make a sucker out of
lay
you.
Lay off, kid.
It's the truth,
Marty. I said lay off. Lay off.
Okay, then. Oh, Marty. Marty, let's not... I mean, you and me, we... How are you fixed for money?
I got enough. And pretty soon, maybe I'll have a lot more. Big bundles of it. I've already got a call from Doc Williamson and Max Shale.
What?
Nibble on that one, Kiv.
Marty, are you crazy? Steer clear of them.
Why? Show me why.
You know as well as I do. If you don't, well, just ask any of the boys on the narcotics squad. Oh, Marty, stop short, or I can see where you're headed just as plain as... Listen to me, Marty.
No,
listen to me. You tangle with Williamson and Shale, and no telling what can happen. One of us might one day have to go after you. It might be me.
You ain't on narcotics.
Narcotics and homicide don't mix, huh?
Mercy me. It gives his Sunday school. After the deal I got...
Look, if you'll only mark time for a while and not lose your head, the newspaper blast will die down, and I'm sure the commissioner
nuts
will give you another...
Nuts to the commissioner and nuts to Brandt. This to him, look, all five fingers. And to you, Kivalan. And you stay away from me here. Stay away, I mean it. I'm going to go line up that job right now.
So you're Marty Connors, huh? I can use you.
I can be used?
It pays $150 a week. I need a guard. You know the setup Max and me are in. We got a nice club, nice customers, a lot of them rich. It attracts cheap guns. And they figure maybe they can knock the place over and take all the dough around the gambling tables. Now, you have a reputation for being hard. That might stop the trouble even before it begins. That would be part of your job.
And the other part?
I carry a lot of money and one or two other things. I want personal protection. Well?
It's a contract. But is that all I do? Don't I get in on the big stuff? Not the gambling, the big stuff.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The dust, Doc, the dust. That's what pays off.
I still don't know what you're talking about. But when I think you're worth more, I'll... See that you get a chance to earn it. Until then, don't let your nose get dirty. You know what I mean?
I'm a too hanky man. Hey, who's the long-legged redhead at the piano? Do I get a chance to protect her, too?
I handle that myself. Leave it strictly alone. Understand?
Sure. I don't blame you. Not the least little bit. So I went to work as a stalker for Doc Williamson and Max Shale. I'd call for Doc every night at 1, take him to the club, and then walk around the tables, and that was all. Bottom of the heap for weeks. I
I wasn't making any headway in that direction, but I was in another. Rita, I learned her name was Rita. Sometimes she'd be there when I called for Doc, but I might have been collecting the laundry for all the attention she paid, until one time I rang Doc's doorbell, and she answered it.
Hello, big fella.
Tell Doc I'm here.
He's not in.
When will he be back?
Not soon. Maybe. Won't I do?
Didn't he leave word?
He didn't leave anything. Except me.
I'll wait for him in the lobby.
What's the matter, Marty? Don't you like me?
Mm-hmm. I like Doc's watch and chain, too, but I don't heist it.
Why not? You're big enough. Maybe you take better care of it than he does. Maybe he treats it bad, leaves it around lonesome in a satin-lined case. Don't you need a watch, Marty?
Well, you can't tell. Might come a day when I'll need the right time bad. I thought about that watch a lot the next few days. The next time I rang Doc's doorbell and she answered it and said...
Hello, big fella.
Tell Doc I'm here.
He's not in. He...
You lovely, lousy, long-legged redhead.
Marty, Doc will be back in a minute. Where can we meet? I gotta see you.
My place tomorrow?
Yeah, your place tomorrow. And the next day. And the next. Marty, I'm afraid of him. I'm afraid of him.
Right, of Doc, he's just a yellow slob.
I think he knows about you and me. We've been seeing each other the last few weeks. I'm scared. Marty, he beats me. Uh-huh. Once he threatened to kill me.
Well, the next time he tries to flash this, you'll see how quick he'll fall here. Take it. It's only a little 25 automatic. Put it in your purse.
No.
Go on, take it. Do as I say. What? Hold it in reserve. He raises a finger to you, draw fast, and watch him retreat.
I feel better already.
Sure. That's why they call you the old equalizer. Was it about me he threatened to kill you?
No.
Who, another big fella?
No, nothing like that. He once found me going through his bureau.
Eh? What's his secret? He wears a girdle? All right, then, don't tell me. Here, have another drink.
Marty, you know what Doc and Max do for the really big money?
Well, sure, they peddle dreams. That's no secret, not really. Why?
You know the setup?
Yeah, I'm just an arm, a yard and a half a week arm.
Well, I know the setup. I'm the only one who does, aside from Doc and maybe Max.
Well, go on.
Max does most of the work. He's distributing the stuff, but he gets a smaller cut than Doc does. You know why?
Because before you can distribute the stuff...
You've got to have it to distribute. Doc's the buyer. He has the contacts all over the world. And guess where he keeps what he knows? The addresses, codes, shipping dates.
Well, how would I know?
In a little green notebook in a chamois bag hung around his neck. That's why he hired you, Marty. Oh, Marty. Marty, do you know what it could mean to us if we had that notebook?
Yeah. He wears it on him, huh?
Around his neck.
Rita, listen hard. Mm-hmm. This evening before I come to pick him up, snuggle up to him. See if he can feel that chamois bag. If he's wearing it, give me the nod when I call from at one. Do you follow me?
Oh, yeah, Marty, I follow you. Maybe I'm even ahead of you.
I went up there at one. I rang and rang, but no one answered. When I tried the knob, the door swung open. Rita wasn't there. But Doc was. He would never be deader. He was lying face down, what was left of the face, on the bedroom rug. The room still smelled of cordite. A 25 shell lay near his feet. His body was still warm. I know because I felt it when I reached for the chamois bag, which wasn't there.
For Suspense, Autolite is bringing you William Bendix in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
That there is the voice of Paul Frees, Lisa. He was Boris Badenov on the fractured fairy tales, those Rocky and Bullwinkle cartoons. Do you remember?
Yes, I did then? Used to watch Rocky remember? And Bullwinkle.
You know who played Rocky, the flying squirrel? That was June Foray.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, we've had her on our show before, June Foray. She still is doing a lot of voiceover.
Really?
Oh, yeah. She's still very, very active in Los Angeles doing voiceover. She was also the granny. You know, she was granny to Sylvester. You know, in the Warner Brothers cartoons.
Oh, sure, of course.
And a lot of.
She's still working.
She did a lot of stuff. Yeah, yeah. So that's part one of Suspense: Breakup, starring William Bendix. We'll get back to that, but let's take a break here on the WGN Radio Theater. Lisa, would you like to dance? I think we could probably do a rumba on this song. No,
it would be fun to watch you. You know, maybe we'll do a video of that, Elif. We'll do a little dancing.
Oh no,
video.
It's not a rumba. This is a slow dance. I could slow dance with you here. It's like cheek to cheek.
Yeah, well, somebody told
and
us
I'm not
the
talking
other day
about
that
on
we
our
hug a lot, and I don't think that Carl and I hug too much.
Right, Lisa? Lisa didn't hear me. She doesn't listen to me. I
Did
said
you
we
say
could,
something?
I said we could dance cheek to cheek, and I'm not talking about our face.
That's a deal.
All right. So, hey, we're listening to a suspense radio show. We play a lot of suspense here on the WGN Radio Theater. You know why?
Why?
Because it was one of the best shows of all time, and I want our listeners to have the best of the best of the best.
Well, I hope that our texters are listening to that, because apparently, you know, some people like the mystery, some people like the comedies. We play it all, and we hope that we introduce you to a whole variety of radio shows, and we can't please everybody with every show, but we really do try our best.
Right, and if there's something you want to hear, just go to Facebook and search for us, WGN Radio Theater. Let us know what you'd like to hear. Please like us when you're there. We want to build our likes.
And, of course, we've got our text page, 312-981-7200. We're happy to hear from you that way, too.
All right, let's get back to this. This is called Breakup, and it stars William Bendix on Suspense.
And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage William Bendix as Marty Connors in Breakup, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
I got out of Doc's apartment fast, left it just as I found it, him dead on the floor with a shell beside him. I had to find Rita, poor kid. She'd really be in a mess now. Everybody knew she was Doc's girl. I had to locate her in the chamois bag. I took a cab to her flat and let myself in. No Rita. That meant I would have to go hunting, but not without a gun, not now. I went home to pick up my police positive. It was in my bureau drawer. And snuggling next to it among the socks was Rita's little 25, with one chamber empty and a smell sharp as incense. So I was being suckered again. Kibby. Oh, Kibby, you old son of a gun. Well, come in. Come on in. Can I fix you a drink, Kib?
I ain't here social, Marty.
No?
No. Remember I told you I might be sent after you one day? Well, I'm sent.
What are you talking about, Kib?
The elevator boy found Doc dead a few minutes ago.
So?
So you're the only one he took down from that floor since 10 o'clock.
Well, Kib, you know what to expect from a sleepy elevator kid.
Why ain't you with Doc tonight?
Well, it's my night off. Kib, you don't really think I've turned killer.
Why not? Oh, by the way, I know about you and that redhead. Come on, let's go, Marty. Brandt wants to talk to you.
Brandt, huh? I should jump at that. I don't hop bells for Brandt now, Kiv. You know that. As far as I'm concerned, you and
Shut
Brandt
up,
both...
Shut up, Marty.
You don't make me. If Brandt wants to talk to me, he comes here with a warrant yet.
Then I'll have to take you.
If you want it, copper.
What? You drawing on...
Stay where you are, Kiv. You ain't bringing me in.
You big ape. You're trying to nerve yourself up to it? Oh, Marty.
Back, Kiv.
A guy would think you meant it.
I do mean it. I swear I'll let you have...
Not you, Marty. Not an ex-cop.
Oh. I ought to keep your nose out of it for a while, Kiv.
Six floors, sir.
Huh? Oh, okay.
Mr. Shale's apartment is just around there.
Thanks.
Max, Marty. Oh, Marty, I've been so worried about you. I've been sitting here down by inches, Marty. I know I...
A sweet frame you nailed together, a sweet one.
Is that what you think? Marty, honey, it wasn't. I swear it. I swear it by all that's holy to me.
Such as what? A dollar bill, maybe?
Marty, listen to me. When I got to Doc's, he was waiting for me. He knew all about us. He began to hit me. I did what you said, Marty. I took out your gun. My finger must have slipped.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't a frame, Marty. I love you. Lots of men would like me to say that to them, but I love you.
All right, stop it, stop it, stop it. I didn't mean to hurt you. Shh.
After I lost my head, I went to your place, but you weren't there. I put the gun in the drawer. I thought it would be safe, and I waited for you, but you didn't come. So I came here. I thought maybe Max had...
It's all right, baby. It's going to be all right. Now, shh, quiet. Let me have the chamois bag. Rita, the chamois bag. Let me have it.
I haven't got it, Marty. I didn't even look for it. I couldn't have touched him.
You're not lying to me now.
No.
It wasn't on him when I found him. He was clean. Rita, shh. Who would that be? Max, maybe?
Max would have come right in.
Who is it?
Elevator boy, sir.
What do you want?
The lady, Miss Carter, lost her gloves in the elevator.
You were wearing gloves?
I don't remember.
All right, boy, give him...
Hold it, Marty. Well, that's a fancy. Now you're covered. Okay, son. Thanks. Get back to your elevator.
Yes, sir.
Back in, Marty. Go on, both of you. Get back in. Well, you've lost a lot of savvy since you left the squad, Marty. Taking that cab here from the hack stand in front of your place. Marty Connors and Doc's baby together. Well, the DA won't have much of a job with this one.
No, I don't know anything about it.
Easy, baby, easy. He's got nothing on you.
A copper gun, Ratsy. Who'd have figured it? Get away from that phone, Marty.
No sucker, Kiv. We're getting a lawyer. You got things to ask. Wait for him.
You move again without I say move and I'll plug you.
You wouldn't, Kiv.
Try me. You're just a cheap hood, and I'm treating you like one. The palsy stuff is true. You'll see Brandt first, you and the girl, and then you can call a lawyer. Let me at that phone.
Drop it, copper.
Huh?
You're covered.
Max. Oh, Max.
Find him, chick. Make sure he's clean. Okay, Marty. Relax.
This'll get you nothing but tears and moans, Shale.
Is he clean, chick? Okay, cold cock him. All right, now, what's it all about?
Well, when I call for Doc tonight...
I'll get to you in a minute, Marty. Talk, Rita.
Doc's dead.
Good. Who did it?
I did. He showed fight when I told him to hand over the notebook.
Rita, you...
Shut up. Go ahead.
That's all. Except, here's the notebook.
Ah, nice going, baby. Got it at last.
Rita, you've been stringing along with him?
Sure she has, if it's any of your business, which it ain't.
You lousy redhead.
What's he so heated about?
Well, I used his gun and planted it on him.
You gave her your gun for the job? That guy's getting to be a habit with you.
Frame spotting the frame and then talked out of the spot by a lousy redhead.
Forget it, Marty. The frame is out. I need an arm like you now that Doc is dormy. All sorts of guys will get ideas about moving into the business. Look, here's the pitch. You gave Doc your gun last night. Because he asked for it. He was afraid of something. Didn't say what. That's your story. Stick to it. I'll set up an alibi for you for the rest of it. Leave it to me. Okay?
Okay. You lousy redhead.
What does this copper know?
Too much.
We dump him right now.
You can't. He came in with the elevator boy.
Chick, take care of it. Baby, you're leaving town in a hurry before they grab you. Start packing.
All right, Maxie.
Now, give me a hand with the cop, Marty. We'll take him out the back way. I said, give me a hand, Marty. Going to play it smart or not?
Yeah. Yeah, sure, Max. I'm going to play it smart.
Well, I'm still waiting for your answer, Marty. I've been waiting all the way across the bridge.
Cut hard to the left here. Now. When you cut hard, don't you? How's Kivlin, chick? Nice and dark, ain't it, Marty? Yeah, this'll do. Pull up here. Cut the lights. I guess we're ready. Well, Marty? Chick'll do it if you won't. Okay, stay a small-time hood. Chick, roll out the cuff.
Wait a minute, Max. Kivlahan is...
Kivlahan goes. You don't pull that stuff, Marty. It's too late.
Not Kivlahan, Max.
Chick, roll him out.
Max!
Take your hand out of your pocket, chump. We're two guns to your one. You're with me now, or else you go with Kivlahan.
Not Kivlahan, Max!
Chick, get him!
Kiv, are you all right?
Okay, Marty. Didn't touch me. You?
I'm okay. Help me get Max's overcoat off. I'm cold. He don't need it no more anyway. Let's dump them both in the back seat.
Okay.
That does it. You want to take the wheel, Kiv?
Yeah, sure, sure. Oh, this is almost like old times, Marty. You and me together.
Yeah.
But I'm still going to have to take you in to see Brandt.
Yeah. It's a good trick, if you can swing it.
Huh?
I told you, if Brandt wants to see me, let him come.
Marty! Marty! How's he going to be, Doc?
Matter of minutes. If Captain Brandt wants to talk to him at all...
I phoned him. He should be here now.
Kiv.
Right here, Marty, right here. You're going to be okay, Sal.
Kiv. I heard the doc. Where's the top coat I was wearing? The one I took off Max.
Oh, it's right here, Marty. Here it is.
There's a little notebook in one of the pockets. Narcotics ought to see it right away. Yeah, that one...
Holy cow. Marty, you know what this is? What's in it?
Hello, Marty.
You see, Kiv, I told you Brandt would have to come to me if he wanted to see...
Marty. Marty!
He can't hear you.
He gave me this, Captain. You know what it is? It would have put him right back on the force.
He was never off it.
What?
That's right. It was a plant, right from the time he let the dame shoot up the saloon with his gun.
You planted him with that gang?
Don't look at me like that, Kiv. It was a good idea and it worked, and I ain't ashamed of having thought of it. It was the only way to get the goods on these dope runners.
Yeah, but I...
As for Marty, well, he was a good cop. And after all, this is what he was paid for.
Thank you, William Bendix, for a splendid performance. And now here again is William Bendix.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to appear on Suspense. This is probably every actor's favorite program, and I know that...
Help! Help! Let me out!
Hey, there's someone in that closet. Well, Jack Benny, what are you doing in there?
Oh, hello, Bill. I'm glad somebody let me out.
Well, I don't get it. What's the idea, Jack?
Well, you see, Bill, I'm moving my program to CBS Sunday nights, and I thought I'd drop in and look over the studio, take one out. And then all of a sudden, all that shooting started, and I hid in the closet.
Oh, well, I'm sure glad you didn't stop any of those bullets, Jack. We all want to hear you next Sunday night on CBS. Your program has always been on my must list, along with Suspense.
Well, thanks, Bill. By the way, what about next week's Suspense?
Next week, radio's outstanding theater of thrills presents Gene Kelly and Ethel Barrymore in To Find Help. Another gripping study in...
Bill, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let me say it, will you?
Huh?
You know, that one word. Let me say it.
Oh, well, sure, Jack. Next week, hear Gene Kelly and Ethel Barrymore in To Find Help. Another gripping study in...
Suspense! Who said I can't do grammar?
William Bendix appears through the courtesy of his own radio show, The Life of Riley, sponsored by Prell, and will soon be seen in the Paramount picture, The Streets of Laredo. Wally Mayer was heard as Kivlahan. Tonight's suspense play was adapted for radio by Joseph Ruskall and Walter Newman from the original story by Thomas Walsh. Music was composed by Lucian Morawek and conducted by Lud Bluskin. The entire production was under the direction of Anton M. Leader. In the coming weeks, Suspense will present such stars as Danny Kaye, Robert Montgomery, Dana Andrews, and many others. Make it a point to listen each Thursday to Suspense, radio's outstanding theater of thrills. And next Thursday, same time, hear Gene Kelly and Ethel Barrymore in To Find Help.
This is the Autolite Suspense Show. Take advantage of high prices for steel scrap. Turn in yours to your local scrap dealer. Good night. Happy New Year from Autolite.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
I love the theme song to Suspense. You know that? I don't know what it is, but it's really good, isn't it? It's kind of dun 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 dun. I like it. Yeah. Well, you should just hum it the whole time we're on the air.
If I had a piano, I could play it for
really?
You.
Really? Could you?
I can.
Yeah, that's right. You're good at that.
Yeah.
You're good at the piano. Yeah? Very good,
I am
Lisa.
A pianist.
Yes, you are.
You like that word.
Yeah. It's very funny. Very funny word. That's Break Up. With William Bendix on Suspense from December 30th, 1948. That was sponsored by Autolite. I don't think there's any Autolite anymore.
I like the Autolite girl.
Autolite, yeah, she's good at the end there. Autolite spark plugs. And then you heard Jack Benny coming on it because his show was moving from NBC to CBS, so he was making the rounds. It's like they call that, what is that? What is that called?
Making the rounds.
Well, no, there's something that they... I don't know. I'll think of it. I'm having a senior moment. But very cool to hear Jack Benny on the end of a Suspense program there. In our next hour, we're going to tune into the Burns and Allen show. George Burns and Jack Benny were very close friends in real life. And I don't know why that matters. But George Burns and Gracie Allen is up next with William Bendix as special guest, along with Herbert Marshall. That's from 1944. But let's take a quick break here on the WGN Radio Theater. Hour three, and look, Elif, Lisa's up. She's awake.
And I'm not even slap happy. Last night I was all giggly.
Were you drinking coffee instead of bourbon earlier?
No, we had some LaCroix last night, though. Is that the same thing?
LaCroix and bourbon? Yeah, they're exactly
the
same thing.
Kind of like the same thing.
Identical. Yeah.
That's what I thought.
So, Lisa Wolf, this is hour three of program 78 in the WGN Radio Theater series. We're here every Saturday and Sunday night from 11 p.m. till 2 a.m. in the morning. So 6 hours on the radio on the weekends playing six classic radio shows. Generally, unless they're an hour-long show, then, of course, there's less. But normally we play six half-hour radio shows. And in this hour, we're going to tune into a comedy with George Burns and Gracie Allen from 1944. Their special guest is William Bendix. All of this is brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars as the CIA director in the action spy thriller Jason Bourne, the sequel to the 2012 film The Bourne Legacy.
Okie dokie. The number to call, 312-981-7200. What do they win?
They will win a pair of tickets to The Producers, which is playing right now at Mercury Theater Chicago.
All right, a couple of tickets to a great show, 312-981-7200. Give us a call. Now, here's a hint. This actor played Samuel Gerard in 1993's The Fugitive.
Our fugitive has been on the run for 90 minutes.
All right, you know who that is? Very famous actor. Call us 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
We're back, and we are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play that movie clip one more time.
Our fugitive has been on the run for 90 minutes.
Hey, Lou from Buffalo Grove, how are you?
Hi there.
Hi.
That's Tommy Lee Jones.
You are right, Lou. You are a winner, and I hope you enjoy the theater. Because you've won two tickets to The Producers. It's playing right now through June 26th at Mercury Theater Chicago. And you can check them out at mercurytheaterchicago.com. Are you a fan?
I sure am. I'm a fan of theater, and I'm a fan of The Producers.
Excellent. And radio theater. Well, thanks so much for being a fan, and we appreciate your calling in.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Lou. Appreciate it. Okay, it's time, Lisa, for our third classic radio show of this edition of the WGN Radio Theater. It is the Burns and Allen Show, and this was a comedy that started, actually, the duo started in vaudeville. They were working together, George Burns and Grace Allen, a vaudeville team. And then they had their first radio appearance in London on the BBC. But then they got their own radio show in America in 1932, way back in 1932. And they lasted on radio 18 seasons all the way to 1950. Of course, then they moved to television at that time and had a very, very successful TV show as well. And they were married, but until 1941 on the radio, Lisa, they did not portray themselves as a married couple. But then the ratings started to kind of sag a little. And so then George Burns said to his lovely wife, Gracie, let's let people know we're married and let's, you know, this and that. Like, we're
talking about that when we should do the reveal.
Let's do the reveal that really we're married.
We didn't want anybody to know, but now that the news is out.
No, folks, we're not married. Lisa's been married to Dan Wolf, my attorney, for 25 years.
Yeah, it's a
not just my attorney. He has a... There's other people that have him as an attorney. I'm not his only client. Like, I'm not Don Corleone.
Maybe you are. Maybe that's it for him.
You know, Don Corleone, he only had one.
Well, if it's good enough client, one's all you need.
Dan Wolf is an, I mean, honestly, he's an excellent attorney.
I keep begging him
to come on the show and do
a shout out.
Folks, if you need a good attorney, he's a good attorney. And he's in Buffalo Grove, like Lou.
He lives next door to Lou.
Schwartz and Wolf and Freeman, right? Schwartz, Wolf and Freeman? No. Schwartz, Wolf and what? Bernstein?
It's called Schwartz, Wolf and Bernstein. But if you need a lawyer, you can
Facebook me. Did I say Freeman? I'm sorry.
You did.
Schwartz, Wolf, and Bernstein.
Yeah, he's Wolf.
Yeah, I figured that.
Just in case you weren't sure.
So, very cool. All right, and so then with Gracie and George saying on the air that they're married, their ratings went way up. And then, of course, after Gracie passed away, he went into the kind of the movie business and became an actor. He did the Sunshine Boys. He did the Oh God films. Yeah. And just a terrific, terrific guy. And he was a mentor to me. Years and years ago when I got in the business, he was one of the first guys that licensed me these shows, the Burns and Allen shows. And he was the one that was introducing me to Jerry Lewis and Milton Berle at the time. Jack Benny had passed away, but he introduced me to, of course, his manager, and who also represented Jack Benny and also represented Edgar Bergen. And so George Burns was a delight. He used to take me to the Beverly Hills Wilshire Country Club and talked about, you know, what he used to do in the morning. He used to tell me, I get up in the morning, I have two martinis. He used to say, I have two martinis. And he used to do his exercises. He said, I do my exercises, I have my two martinis. He goes to the Beverly Wilshire Country Club and he has soup. That was what he did for lunch. That was his lunch, soup. And then he would take a nap, go to the office in Hollywood, open his mail, and, you know, and he'd sign autographs and send them out. That's what he did every day. Went to the,
Sounds
you know,
like
it
a,
was a routine.
A good life.
You know, it was a routine for him. He lived to be 100 years old.
Yeah, I said he had a secret.
Yep, you'll hear him here on this episode of the Burns and Allen Show. Let's go back to January 18th, 1944. Burns and Allen, their special guest is William Bendix, along with Herbert Marshall. He's on this as well. Let's tune this in, part one of the Burns and Allen Show.
This is Bill Goodwin speaking for Lever Brothers, makers of Swan, the new white floating soap that's pure as fine Castiles. Well, it's Tuesday night again, time for another pleasant visit with George Burns and Gracie Allen, our guest William Bendix, a special visitor Herbert Marshall, Jimmy Cash, the Swantet, and Felix Mills and his orchestra. And now meet the people who live in the Burns house, George and Gracie. Well, breakfast is just over at the Burns house, and George is about to leave for the office.
Oh, George, I don't think you ought to go to the office today. You don't look well.
Oh, I'm all right. A little tired. I worked late last night.
No, darling, it's more than that. You're weak. Why, at breakfast, you had to hit your boiled egg 4 times to crack it.
I did, huh?
Yeah. And when you're feeling your usual robust self, you only have to hit it 3 times.
Yeah, before I was married, I could crack them with my bare hands. Well, I better get started for the office.
No, dear. What you need is rest and nourishment. Now, you lie down while I go get a chicken and milk it for you.
You're gonna milk the chicken?
I would cream it, but all I have is milk.
Say, cream chicken. Sounds great, but I'd rather get to the office.
No, though. Darling. You're gonna rest right here in this den. Shall I bring down the flower pajamas I gave you for Christmas?
Oh, don't bother. They don't look good on me.
Oh, I think they're very becoming. Why, across the hips, the flowers look like they're just ready to burst into bloom.
Ah, never mind.
Oh, dear company. I'll close the door so nothing will disturb you.
Greetings, dear lady.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Bolingbroke. Well, how is your school of culture and dramatic art coming along?
Alas, it no longer exists. My landlady cast me forth from my lodgings.
Oh, too bad.
Yes, and one cannot teach culture on a park bench. Policemen and pigeons spoil the mood.
Wait, I have an idea. Why couldn't you use my house for your culture school? Who knows, it might become as famous as the Louvre, the Acropolis, the Palladium.
That's a splendid idea. Ah, but there is an insect in the ointment of culture. Your husband. For some obscure reason, he considers me a bum.
Oh, well, don't worry. We'll only hold classes while George is at the office. Now, you get whatever you need for the culture school, and I'll get rid of my husband.
Good luck to you, Mrs. Burns, and good riddance to your husband.
Why, George, haven't you gone to work yet?
Huh?
Let me see your tongue.
Ah.
Well, it looks fine, not a bit bloodshot.
But, Gracie, a minute ago you said...
Put on your coat while I answer the door. Yes?
Excuse me, lady, but is this where the Gilhoolies live?
No. No, I'm sorry. You have the wrong address.
Okay, thanks.
Who was that?
I don't know, but he looked kind of familiar. Well, goodbye, George. Hurry to the office.
Do you really think I ought to go? I feel kind of dizzy. Maybe I've got something.
My father never missed a day's work in his life. He had lots of things to make him dizzy.
I know. I married one of them.
Hiya, folks.
Oh, hello, Bill.
You leaving, George?
I guess so. Bill, do you think I look my usual self this morning?
Well, no, George, you don't.
See, Gracie?
You look good.
Goodbye, funny man.
Oh, Bill, now that George is gone, I can tell you the wonderful news. I didn't want George to find out about it, so you're the first one I'm telling.
Why, Gracie, you're going to have a baby.
I am? Oh, Bill, that's better news than I have for you. Well, when do you think it'll be?
Well, wait a minute, Gracie. Isn't that what you were going to tell me?
Oh, no.
Oh, well, what is the news, Gracie?
Well, Nigel Bolingbroke and I are opening a school of drama and culture.
Oh, really? Well, say, maybe I could teach diction.
Oh, are you good at that?
Well, Grace, I don't want to brag, but just yesterday, one of the biggest radio announcers in this town came to me to help him with his voice.
Really?
Oh, yeah, he said, Bill, old friend, my sponsor is unhappy. Show me how you say swan, the new white floating soap is 4 soaps in 1. The soap for your hands and face for bathing the baby and the soap for your dishes and light laundry. Show me that, Bill.
Oh, the poor man. Did you help him?
Well, when I got through with him, he was talking like this. Swan is a great wartime buy. When you wash the dishes with a swan, you get heaps of suds. Suds so gentle, so mild, you don't have to worry about rough red dish panny hands.
He talked like that on his program and the sponsor was happy, huh?
No, the sponsor fired him. He was supposed to sell coffee.
Well, Now, Bill, I'm afraid you won't do as a teacher.
Well, okay, Gracie. Oh, by the way, before I go, do you know the Gilhoolies in this neighborhood?
Well, now, that's funny. There was another man here asking for them.
Well, that must have been William Bendix. He's trying to locate these friends of his from Brooklyn.
William Bendix, the movie star?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, and I practically slammed the door in his face. Oh, the poor man. From the looks of his face, it's had lots of doors slammed on it.
Well, you know, Gracie, Bendix is really a swell guy. I worked with him in the picture, Wake Island. You remember that big, dumb Marine?
Yeah, I thought you were very good.
No, he was the big, dumb Marine.
Oh, yes. Say, Bill, wouldn't William Bendix be a wonderful guinea pig for our culture school?
Well, what do you mean?
Well, if we could make a suave, sophisticated leading man out of him, we'd be famous.
You'd be magicians. He doesn't go for that culture stuff, Gracie.
Well, maybe I can get him interested. Oh, excuse me, Bill.
Look, lady, are you sure you don't know where the Gilhoolies live? I'm just dying to talk to somebody from Brooklyn.
Well, come right in, Mr. Bendix.
You mean you're from Brooklyn?
Well, they call me Green Pert Gracie.
Well, hallelujah!
Our young tenor, Jimmy Cash, with a brand new popular ballad, So Good Night. James?
Good night, nothing more left to say when day is through. My dreams will all be of you. So good night. As I write, I can try to imagine you are here, but only dreams bring you near. Oh, good night. After I close my eyes, memories pass me in review, each one recalling just how you said, darling, I'm yours forever. So good night. With a heart full of love, I'll dim the light and dream you're holding me tight. So good night.
That William Bendix is the ideal pupil for her school of drama and culture. So she has lured him into the house by pretending to be from Brooklyn.
Gee, lady, it sure is great to meet somebody from Brooklyn.
Oh, yes, the motherland.
Yeah.
Such a lovely place with its trees and its flowers and its little flat bushes.
Yeah, you said a kisserful, lady. What memories. Eating weenies and kraut from a pushcart. While the new moon caresses the Navy Yard.
Oh. You make it sound like poetry, Mr. Bendix.
Oh, I don't take no credit. Brooklyn brings out the poet in anybody that's human.
Oh. And you are, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, enough about Brooklyn. Let's talk about you, Mr. Bendix.
Okay, that's an interesting subject.
How does it feel to be such a flop in pictures?
Oh, I ain't doing so bad.
Well, the folks back home are disappointed in your playing a cab driver. Mm-hmm. They'd rather see you as Romeo or Madame Curie.
Oh, I couldn't play them. They was foreigners.
Ah, just the same, the home folks feel that you've let them down. And they don't feel that way about Ronald Coleman.
Gee, is he from Brooklyn?
One of the oldest families.
Well, that's funny. I never run into him in none of the saloons.
And Brooklyn is mighty proud of Walter Pigeon.
Him too?
Sure.
You don't say.
You see, Mr. Coleman and Mr. Pigeon are successful because they're cultured Brooklyn gentlemen.
Yeah. They make out pretty good with the dames, too, huh?
Oh, are you interested in women?
Oh, yeah, they could very easily become a hobby with me.
Well, why do you suppose Charles Boyer always gets the girls?
Politics.
No, because he's a cultured Brooklyn gentleman.
I thought he was French.
That's right, from the French Quarter of Brooklyn. The left bank.
The left bank?
Yeah. You know, the other side of the Canarsie Swamps.
Oh, yeah. A lovely spot.
You could get the girls, too, if you'd brush up on culture. Now, for instance, I'll bet you blow on your hoop.
Well, sure, but strictly proper, I never blow on it toward me.
Ronald Coleman doesn't blow on his soup at all.
Fans it with his bread, huh?
Mr. Bendix, you do need culture. Wouldn't you like to become a gentleman?
Lady, I'm a gentleman to the tip of my toes.
Well, maybe, but from there up, you need plenty of work.
I do, huh?
Yeah. Now, for example, what would you do at a party if a young lady held out her hand to you?
I guess I'd bite it.
Ronald Coleman would kiss it.
Well, he ain't as lonesome as I've been.
Now, you better enroll in culture school right away.
Okay, I'll give it a try. Where is this seat of higher learning?
You're sitting on it.
This is the school?
Yep. We have a course that's guaranteed to make the average man a gentleman in a week.
Well, do you think you can make me a gentleman in a week?
Well, it might take a little longer, but don't worry, the months will fly by.
Well.
Come in.
'Tis I, dear lady.
Oh, come in, Dean Bolingbroke. I want you to meet our student, William Bendix.
Well, well.
Our first seeker after knowledge.
Hiya, Dean. Do you think you can make me a Ronald Coleman?
Hey, boy, we shall plant in you the flower of culture. It's up to you to make it bloom.
Oh, I'm sure it'll bloom beautifully in Mr. Bendix. He's a perfect pot.
Thank you.
You gotta love Gracie Allen. She could say anything, and it got a laugh. Gracie Allen, she was one in a zillion. Just like you, Lisa Wolf.
One
in a zillion. January 18th, 1944, we're listening to the George Burns and Gracie Allen Show. Special guests, William Bendix and Herbert Marshall. We'll get back to that in a few minutes. Let's take a break on the WGN Radio Theater.
Spend time with us, Bill and Wendy. You could experience our show live from inside the Allstate Showcase studio, and then you're going to join us for our lunch break. Enter to win at WGNradio.com/contests. It's all sponsored by Allstate, Chicago's own good hands.
Clogged toilets, leaky water heaters, sewer backup, any of that get your attention? Then you'll like this. After receiving many requests from frustrated homeowners seeking a professional, trustworthy plumbing repair service, PermaSeal took action. That's right. PermaSeal has a full team of licensed plumbers on staff for all of your plumbing and sewer repair needs. PermaSeal has spent over 37 years delivering a superior customer experience and are excited to do the same with all things plumbing. Call 800-421-SEAL today and schedule your appointment. From water heaters and sump pumps to sewer line repairs and clogged sinks, they do it all with the quality and professionalism you've come to trust from PermaSeal. If you have any plumbing needs, and really, who doesn't? You know who to call. PermaSeal at 800-421-SEAL. That's 800-421-SEAL or permaseal.net. PermaSeal has earned the Better Business Bureau's 2016 Torch Award for Marketplace Ethics and are known best for being better. PermaSeal.
Wow, Lisa.
Yeah.
That's pretty darn good there.
Yeah, that's the...
You just pulled that right out.
Yeah.
That was good.
Pulled it out.
You were able to sing the PermaSeal theme.
Can't you
jingle.
Do it?
No.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
The that's
I have
thing.
To learn that. Yeah, teach
right.
me. Yeah. Well, PermaSeal, they've been around a long time.
Yeah, they're known best for being better.
Yeah, very, PermaSeal. Very cool. So you know what? Here on the WGN Radio Theater, my co-host Lisa Wolf and I, we have been spotlighting certain celebrities each and every Saturday and Sunday night. The listeners seem to like it. We've had some very good feedback on our Facebook page and also on our text line. The text line is 312-981-7200. Our listeners seem to like this idea of taking a celebrity and playing three radio shows, generally a variety of different genres, either a comedy or a mystery detective type of thing. With William Bendix, tonight we tuned into a comedy and then a mystery and now another comedy. Now, next Saturday, Lisa, we have a spotlight on Howard Duff. Howard Duff was a terrific actor. You probably remember him from Falcon Crest. Remember Falcon Crest?
I sure do.
The television show, but he played Sam Spade on the radio. So we're going to listen to Howard Duff in an episode of Sam Spade Detective. Then you'll hear him on Suspense and then the star of The Whistler. And then the next day, Sunday, we're going to spotlight his real-life wife, Ida Lupino. Now, Ida Lupino was a terrific actress. Later in life, she became a very prominent television and movie director. She got behind the camera after initially being in front of the camera. But we're going to hear her as star on the Lux Radio Theater, an hour-long broadcast, and then we'll listen to her on an episode of Suspense. So that's next weekend right here on the WGN Radio Theater. This is the WGN Radio Theater. We have a radio show, Lisa, on WGN. We're heard in like 40 states at night here. So hello, everyone out there in the other states.
It's almost like Christmas music.
Yeah,
almost.
A little bit. We're broadcasting from Chicago, Illinois on Radio 720 WGN. But because this is a very powerful station, it's they call it a blowtorch. We're out there in many other states. People hear this show all across the country, also parts of Canada. And it's so much fun playing these classic radio shows. Please tell a friend. And people like it because you know what? We have more and more listeners every single month. We check the ratings and we have more and more listeners every month. We want to thank you so very much for being out there listening to our show. And I know we're on late. We're on late at night. And so for you to stay up and check out our show, we greatly appreciate it. We're listening to an episode of The Burns and Allen Show going back to 1944. Their special guest is William Bendix and also Herbert Marshall. Let's tune this in. The conclusion now of The Burns and Allen Show.
And now, my dear scholar, shall we discuss that little matter of enrollment fee?
You mean dough?
Yes. Dough, as you so delightfully put it. Naturally, you want to enroll for all our courses.
Oh, sure, I'll take everything you got.
It's mutual. Now, just count your money slowly into my palm.
Okay. 10.
For elocution.
20.
For rhetoric.
25.
For poise.
30.
For elocution.
You said that.
That was compound elocution. This is complex.
Oh, well. I guess that's the bundle. Wait a minute. Hold on. Here's a book I didn't see.
You may keep that for your honesty.
Oh, gee. Thanks, Dean.
Well, not at all. You show great promise, dear pupil. I predict that you will make the Hall of Fame. And I didn't make a bad haul myself. Farewell, friends.
Oh, no, wait, Mr. Bolingbroke. How about Mr. Bendix's culture lesson?
Well, there isn't time today. If your husband comes home and catches us running this culture school, he'll skin us alive.
Oh, dear, that's right. And we haven't got the skin to spare like he has.
How true.
Oh, Mr. Bendix, you better come back tomorrow. Goodbye.
Well, gee whiz, I paid my dough. I want a lesson.
Mrs. Burns, I suggest we step into the next room and hold a faculty meeting. Excuse us, Mr. Bendix.
Gee, if the folks back in Flatbush could only see me now. Me in a culture school.
Hello.
Hello.
Say, aren't you William Bendix?
Yeah, why?
Well, nothing. I'm a little surprised to see you here.
Well, you look a little out of place yourself.
Out of place? I live here.
Gee, she ain't made you much like Ronald Coleman. She? Yeah, the little dame, your daughter.
She happens to be my wife.
Oh, well, I'm your new student.
Student? Look, where is my wife?
She's in there.
Well, excuse me.
Why, George, you're not supposed to be home this early. I mean, hello, dear.
Bolingbroke, what are you doing here?
Leaving. Goodbye.
Gracie, what's William Bendix doing in the living room? He says he's a student here.
Is that all he told you?
Yes. If he's a student, who's his teacher?
You.
Me? What do I teach him?
Singing.
Oh, stop.
Oh, it's true, darling. You've been the talk of Hollywood since you sang at that party the other night.
Well, I did kind of make a hit, didn't I?
Oh, yes, dear. When you sang the desert song, you were so believable. All the sand and gravel of the desert seemed to be right in your throat.
Gee.
My desert is calling. Oh, come back to me.
Oh, my sheik.
So that's why Bendix is here. He wants me to teach him to sing.
Sure.
You know, Gracie, when I walked in here, I half expected you to make up some kind of a lie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, you're cute.
Time for Felix Mills and his orchestra. And tonight with the Swantet, an old favorite that's back in favor now. My Ideal.
She might be just around the corner waiting for me. Will I recognize the light in her eyes that no other eyes reveal? Or will I pass her by and never even know that she is mine?
Keep George and Bendix apart so that George won't find out his home has been turned into a culture school.
Well, I'm going in to show Bendix how I sing.
Oh, no, you can't, dear. You see, when you sang the desert song just now, you didn't sound right. The gold was missing from your voice.
No gold at all?
Well, it was tarnished. Some of the notes you sang were sort of green.
Gee, I thought I sounded swell. My desert is calling.
I'm very sensitive to the quality of your voice. When its bell-like tones are perfect, my whole body quivers.
And it didn't quiver then?
No, only my left leg twitched a little.
You mean I'm slipping?
No, I'm sure it's nothing permanent. Just this morning you were superb when you sang in the shower. Oh, I love the way you kept tuned to the rhythm of the drum beats.
What drum beats?
The water bouncing off your stomach.
Oh, that.
Showers seem to help your voice. Why don't you go up and take another shower now? A nice long one.
But, sweetheart...
Oh, please, George. Wash yourself back into shape and then show Mr. Bendix how you sing.
Well, okay. I want him to hear me at my best. Just tell him I won't be long.
All right, dear. Oh, I'm sorry I left you so long, Mr. Bendix, but my husband is home now, and I'll have to give you your culture lesson tomorrow. Goodbye.
But, gee, lady, I want to go out stepping tonight. Couldn't you just slip me enough culture to get anyhow an ugly dame?
Well, maybe a short lesson, just long enough for a shower.
What's that?
Oh, nothing. Now, we'll pretend that we're Hollywood's two most charming and sophisticated personalities. You be Ronald Coleman, and I'll just be myself.
Okay.
Now, you're serving me tea, and you just say whatever you think Mr. Coleman would say.
All right. A saucer of tea, Madam Ship?
Cheerio.
Lemon?
Quite.
Trumpet?
No, just squeeze it.
Spoon?
Let's have our tea first.
Pip, pip.
Been hunting today, Ronald?
Constantly.
And how was the hunt?
It stunk.
You didn't catch a fox?
No, they wasn't biting.
Oh, how dreadful.
Beastly. Well, how am I doing?
Oh, you were wonderful. If it wasn't for a few things like your face, I'd have sworn you were Ronald Coleman.
Hiya, Gracie.
Hello, Bill.
Bendix, are you still here?
Mr. Goodwin, you are now looking at the Bendix that all the women want.
Well, you are built a little like a washing machine.
One more dirty crack and I'll kick your teeth in.
Oh, Mr. Bendix, Remember your culture. You should say one more uncouth remark and I'll kick your teeth in.
Oh, yeah. You see, Goodwin, this little lady has molded me into a Ronald Coleman.
Really? It doesn't show.
Oh, Bill, I think he definitely looks molded.
Gracie, will you bring me a towel?
Oh, George is out of the shower. You boys better leave. Mr. Bendix, I'll see you tomorrow. Goodbye.
Bye. Well, Goodwin, now that I'm cultured, I ought to get plenty of dames.
Now, look, Bendix, if you want to get somewhere with the women, listen to me. Now, let's say that you have a beautiful woman in your home.
Well, that's already further than I ever got before.
Well, now first you want to show her that nothing's too good for her, You see? So you open the bar and you tell her to help herself.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah. Her eyes will light up and she'll say, oh, Mr. Bendix, for me, that whole bar of swan?
Bar of what?
Swan. That's the new white floating soap. Women are crazy about swan because it's four soaps in one. Great for their hands and face or for bathing the baby, and tops for dishes and light laundry. Swan is four swell soaps in one, a great wartime buy.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me I can get beautiful dames with swan soap?
Well, sure.
Holy smoke, and I've been wasting that stuff taking a bath with it.
Well, no, Bill, that's not wasting it. A swan bath's wonderful. Even babies love those mild as May swan suds. Swan's pure as fine Castiles. Say, if swan is that mild, that pure, you couldn't ask for a better soap for your complexion.
Well, yeah. But what about this beautiful dame I got in my home?
Yeah.
She's standing there clutching a bar of soap. Now, what now?
Well, yeah. Now you take her in your arms, Bill, and you squeeze her.
Yeah.
One little squeeze does it. The bar of swan breaks in two.
Huh?
And you put half in the bathroom for your hands and face tub or shower and half in the kitchen for your dishes and light laundry. Then you send the dame home.
Send her home?
Oh, my goodness. Haven't you boys gone yet?
Well, we were just...
It's too late now. My husband's on his way down to give you a singing lesson.
Singing lesson? But Ronald Coleman doesn't sing.
But think how many more women you'll attract if you talk like Coleman and sing like Sinatra.
Gee.
Oh, well, you can be a new and different Sinatra. The microphone can lean on you.
Gracie, George is giving singing lessons?
Oh, yes. Why, if it weren't for him, Frank Sinatra wouldn't be where he is today.
George?
Sure, he found an apartment for him.
Well, Bendix, I'm ready for your singing lesson. Now sit down and I'll show you how you'll sound after 5 or 6 years of hard study.
I ain't got nobody. Nobody cares for me.
Including me. Goodbye, George.
I'm so sad and lonely, baby. Won't somebody take a chance with me? Ba-loo-da-doo.
Oh, you see how he closes his eyes, Mr. Bendix?
Yeah, he's closing the wrong thing.
I'll sing sweet love songs all the time. If you'd be my baby, baby, then you'd be mine. I ain't got nobody, babe. And nobody, nobody, nobody cares for me.
Well, Mr. Bendix, when you learn to sing like that, you'll get plenty of women.
Lady, the dames I could get with a voice like that, I wouldn't want. So long.
You've just helped her back 10 years. Well, good night, folks.
Our guest tonight, William Bendix, is now heard in his own radio program, The Life of Riley. His next motion picture will be The Hairy Ape. The makers of Swan, the new white floating soap, join George and Gracie in inviting you to tune into your Columbia station again next Tuesday, same time, when we will have as our guest, Paul Henry. The following week, William Powell. Remember George Burns and Gracie Allen, CBS, next Tuesday night. And now, till next Tuesday, this is Bill Goodwin saying, well, I, Swan, how about you? Good night, everyone. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
ANX, Columbia Square, Los Angeles.
I like how they say Los Angeles back then. They said Los Angeles.
Yeah, I heard that.
I wonder why they said Los Angeles.
Oh, Aleph knows.
Do you know Aleph?
It just sounds more alluring. And
does it?
Everything...
sound, they come visit us. We're Los Angeles.
Yeah, and everything they said back then sounded more alluring.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I'm sure our listeners would know why they...
somebody can let us know.
They were talking about KNX. KNX is a big CBS affiliate out in Los Angeles. The big... I think it's 1080, I think, on the AM dial. And all of these shows... I shouldn't say all of these shows, but a lot of these radio shows originated out of the KNX studios if they were on CBS. I know Burns and Allen originated out of the KNX studios. So did... Jack Benny program, many, many shows. And that was the big station, still is, out in L.A., CBS, KNX. They're the big dog out there, just like WGN's the big dog in Chicago. That's the Burns and Allen Show, January 18th, 1944. It was sponsored by Swan Soap, and we've talked about this. I don't think Swan Soap's around anymore.
Yeah, well, if there's no Swan Soap, then I don't want any soap.
No, I don't think they're around. And Felix Mills and his orchestra on this, Johnny Cash, the Swan Tet. That was, a little respect to their sponsor there. Hans Conried on this program. And special guest William Bendix, along with Herbert Marshall. And the stars of the show, George Burns and Gracie Allen. We sure hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.
Nick DiGilio.
Nick DiGilio. And he's right here in studio with us.
Hi.
What's going on, Nick?
Oh, not much.
Yeah?
Yeah. Burns and Allen. I love Burns and
Allen. Burns and Allen. We've talked about this before. I used to go to his office all the time in Hollywood. And funny story, I think I might have told you this, but he wrote a foreword for me on one of my old-time radio books. And this was before I actually met him in person. And he wrote the foreword, and I had, it was at a fee. Of course, I had to pay a fee.
Yeah.
And his agent, Irving Fine, he was tough. He was a tough negotiator, Irving Fine. He was Jack Benny's agent, Edgar Bergen's agent,
wow,
and George Burns' agent. He was getting 10% from each one of those guys.
Oh, man.
This was a very wealthy man.
Yeah,
very tan. I remember him being very tan all the time, Irving Fine. And I said, well, you know, if I'm going to pay George Burns this much money, I want to meet him in person. Then we ended up becoming friends, and he used to take me out. But the very first time I met him, I kind of bribed my way in. Instead of sending the check in the mail, I thought, I'm going to L.A. I want to meet George Burns, right? So they didn't want to say no because I was bringing a check.
Right.
I get to the door. I knock on the door of George Burns' office. Irving Fine meets me at the door. I had my briefcase, you know, and I had the money in the brief, you know, a check in the briefcase. And he opens the door, and I see George Burns way at the end, and Irving Fine is blocking my way in. And I said, oh, hi, I'm here to see George. And he says, do you have the check?
He's an agent, man.
I said, yeah, it's in my briefcase. Yeah. He goes, okay, come on right in.
Come on in.
And then that was it.
Because I want my 10%.
Yeah, well, and so that was my first meeting with George Burns, and then we became close friends.
That's great.
For years, all the way till he passed away at 100 years of age.
Yeah.
He kept working.
Yeah,
kept
he
working.
Yeah.
Like all of us here, hopefully that'll be us working here at WGN. We'll be 100 years old on the air. That'd be great. How many years would that be for you? It'd be like 80?
It would
be like 80 years.
30, yeah, so it would be about 80 years.
Not, you know what? It's going to happen.
About 80 years.
Going to happen, buddy. Going to happen. I hope I'm there with you. Hope I'm right there with you. Nick has been on this station 34 years.
No, next week it'll be, no, it's 2 weeks, it'll be 31 years.
Unbelievable. That's fantastic, buddy. That's really an accomplishment.
You know, yeah, it's amazing.
It's a great accomplishment. You deserve it, and you're amazing on the air. We love you. I listen to you all the time.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. So what's on the show this morning?
Monday morning movie reviews, yes. Obviously, with Colin and Eric. And they will also talk about the Chicago Critics Film Festival, which begins at the Music Box Theater on Friday the 20th and goes through the 26th. Lots of stars and actors, writers, directors are coming in to be a part of it.
Great.
The all of the films were programmed by the Chicago Critics, including Colin, who programmed the shorts that are being shown, and Eric and some other guys who put it all together.
Right.
So we'll talk about that. We'll review all the new movies, including Money Monster, the new
George Clooney movie.
Directed by Jodie Foster.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
have you seen that?
I have.
Okay, well, I'll be listening to find out what you thought of it.
Yeah.
And what movie should I go see? If I'm going to go to the movies this week, what should I see?
Well, do you like the comic book movie stuff?
Yeah.
Because Civil War is great.
What is it?
Captain America.
The Captain America movie. Yeah, sure, yeah. Sure. I'll go see that, definitely. Yeah,
very, very
entertaining. I hear it's really good,
yeah, it's
right?
Great.
Like one of the best ones, yeah.
Yeah, and it'll definitely get rid of that taste of that stupid Batman movie out of
your mouth. Oh, my gosh, that was so bad.
Awful.
So bad.